Pentagon hasn't had a plane in brackets go through its front door yet.
They got the dude who's in charge of the Bermuda soccer team got the same vote as what Spain does. Like, stop it.
You all know full well at this point, conspiracies are winning.
And I was like, whoa, whoa, no one likes Triple H. And I was like a little kid, you know, I was like...
Do you reckon Britney Spears is alive?
Or is that a clone running around her house?
Just fucking wigging out. Because no one's looking after the clone.
Welcome everyone to episode 49 of the Balls and All Show. Jake and Zachy B, how are you, bro?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad. Bit cool this morning.
Fucking freezing in here, bro.
Mate, especially here in your little old Queenslander. Doesn't get real warm in here.
Straight through the floors it comes, mate. It's fucking so cold here.
Yeah, so big
had
show.
Had the heater on in the room though. I was all right, bro.
Oh, yeah. That heater always works. Big show planned today, a lot of Origin news, a few bombshell selections. Speaking of bombs, we've got stuff going off at the US naval base.
Oh, yeah,
in Japan.
There's a lot happening.
We've got
all the riots. Is World War III about to kick off?
I think so. We've got all the riot stuff happening in LA, sending the National Guard out. So there's a lot to talk about today. But Trump and Elon
hate each other now.
And we'll dive into
that. Way quicker than I thought it would.
And we'll dive into that, whether it was a setup or it was deliberate. But yeah, first things first, we'll start with a bit of Origin chat. Daily. I did not see that coming.
Well, I actually suggested it game one if they were going to do it.
Yeah, if they were going to do it, they should have done it game one.
But had they went with Daly, which they did, I thought they were going to let him
see out the series.
At least see it out. But he's obviously became the scapegoat.
Yeah,
to what was a dismal Queensland. Someone had to go.
Yeah,
I was really surprised Munster got picked.
Yeah.
I thought Ezra Mann may have even came straight in there, you know, with Tommy.
Yeah.
But clearly Billy thinks Tommy's got what it takes to run the team.
Yeah. And I don't know if we mentioned it on the last show, but I was talking to Jono yesterday about it where does Queensland get their kicking from now? There's no real deep kick threats anymore.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. Daly's probably still up there with top three or four in the game in terms of long kicking. He's definitely still one of the better short kickers.
Yeah.
So obviously they're just going to have to rally around Tommy and he's going to have some sort of a kicking game. One of them are going to have to kick.
Yeah.
Munster showed what he was – Munster showed – see, I don't think Munster's as bad a kicker as that. I've seen Munster have better kicking games than game one.
Yeah.
So that might have been an anomaly. And like we spoke about, the balls may have been a bad batch of footies.
Yeah, yeah.
There's talk that that's actually true. So you never know. Joey wasn't the only one talking about it. Jamie Soward was talking about the balls being bad and there's been a few others. So maybe it just was that.
Yeah.
I saw Moses get a few kicks away, but I also saw Cleary hitting a few that just didn't look as sweet as normal. So yeah.
Maybe do you think like we said on the last one, like the belly of the ball, like the
could have been or the ends of it, or the final trim. You never know.
Yeah. So Rob Toyer keeps his spot, which I think is a good decision. The one that surprised me was Trent Liero keeping his spot on the bench.
There's chat he's going to start. Carrigan off the bench, perhaps.
Yeah, there's no way Carrigan's coming off the bench. Big Horse not getting in as well.
The chat is that Billy doesn't want him to get pushed around again in the first 20 minutes and then not have the energy to do anything, which has basically happened the last three games now.
Yeah.
So they have to change it up a bit. Carrigan and Cotter, they are guns, but you have to have guns coming off the bench like New South Wales do.
Yeah, yeah.
for the last five games, I'd say probably the last six games, the Blues bench has just been far superior.
And you look at the Blues bench now with Connor Watson, Spencer, Hudson Young and Stefano.
That's what I'm saying. What's the Queensland's bench?
Queensland bench, they haven't announced the final 17, but I'm guessing it'll be Kurt Mann at 14, Liero, Capewell, and maybe Big Mo.
Mo started last game, didn't he?
Yeah.
So who's coming? Lindsay Collins starting?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. And who's your edges?
It'll be Nanai and Cotter.
Yeah.
Same as last game.
Yeah, well, really the only difference will be...
Or do they move Cotter to the bench and start Capel at back row?
I was just listening to Triple M and there was talk of either Nanai or Cotter or Carrigan starting on the bench.
Yeah,
and Liero starting.
Yeah, so the Queensland 17 will be named today, Tuesday afternoon at time of recording. But, yeah, that Blues team is one change is, yeah, Barnett drops out, then Max King starts, and then, yeah, Big Stefano comes onto the bench.
Which isn't that great a difference.
Nah.
Max King held his own in that first game, so I think he'll be okay.
Matty Burton, 18th man again. I think this is his fourth or fifth origin. He's been named 18th man.
He's just in that time where the Blues have so much depth in the halves, it's hard to crack a team.
Even at centre.
And like, then you have fullbacks playing centre in origin for the Blues. So if you're an out-and-out centre like Burton, it might be hard to get picked, especially with all the big names around you. But he's turning into a big name himself.
Yeah.
Rumour has it he's going to play seven for the Dogs. And then
Galvin
will play six.
Yeah.
He jumped on the weekend.
Well, there's talk Burton's in doubt this weekend. So
on the weekend when he came on, Burton went to seven and Sexton went to hooker.
Yeah.
Didn't look too bad. Now, I wouldn't say Sexton at nine, but Burton wouldn't be a bad big seven.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest seven ever.
Well, both of them. Like, they're both big boys.
Throwback to the Trent Barrett days.
Yeah. Sean Timmons.
There's a lot of Sean Timmons, Trent Barrett about Matty Burton.
Yeah.
Hopefully he clearly every time you hear Siraldo talk, that's who he talks about the most is Matty Burton.
Yeah.
And Crichton. So I guess where he wants to play, he'll play. But back to the daily thing, mate, I think it's a bit rough and I think it's a bit rich. All that chat about when the Blues dropped Tedesco and the Blues dropped Jake and rah, rah, rah. Well, here's an indication of if a player's out of form and he's the captain, it still sort of doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You have to drop him.
Yeah.
And Queensland are going to do the same thing if it comes down to it.
And if...
they're no different.
If New South Wales come out and win 13+, I think Billy will be in the hot seat.
Well, who else would coach Queensland?
I don't know. I haven't even thought about that, but I'm just thinking you drop Daly and then, like, if your forwards get dominated again, of course your halfback's not going to be able to perform on the back foot. Like, the only person who we've both seen who can, as a halfback, who can perform on the back foot is Joey.
Thurston.
And JT to an extent, but not to the extent of Joey, where he could... He changed the game defensively as well. He'd be putting shots on and doing all that kind of stuff as well.
Joey could pick up fucking
Gordon Tallis and put him.
Joey could pick up six dudes out of the crowd to be his edge and his backline, and they'd be fine.
Yeah,
just because Joey was running them around. There's not many people like that, especially with how quick the game is now. There's no real one individual player carrying a team.
Yeah.
But to Queensland's performance in the first game, that wasn't all on Daly. A lot of them blokes sucked.
And if your forwards aren't going forward, you can't use Daly as the scapegoat. But
he is 37 though.
My thoughts on that goes a bit deeper into the not so much conspiracy side, but you're looking at, remember when Daly did the backflip from Gold Coast and the Melbourne boys didn't want him in the Queensland team, and that was Billy and Cam and all them boys, and now they're a part of the coaching staff.
Well, Cam isn't anymore.
He isn't? Yeah, no. Right. Well, like even having Billy there. Like,
it's JT.
But it's still the boys from fucking the 8 years. Is Josh Hannay still in there, I think?
Mate, there's an argument to be made that Daly's been Queensland's best player in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And easy. Then Hunty behind him.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand why you just punt him and then put all that pressure on Tommy Dearden. Because if Tommy Dearden doesn't play well in game two.
Yeah, then what?
Then they'll be saying, well, give Fogarty a crack in game three to see how he handles
it.
And then Tommy will undeservingly have to fucking swallow that.
And drop back to 14.
Because Queensland are going to Perth, man. They go to Perth to get destroyed usually.
Yeah.
So if history is telling, which it usually is when they play Origin games in, what do you call it?
In
neutral
Perth.
Locations. Yep. Historically, New South Wales don't go too well in Adelaide.
Yeah.
They never play well in Melbourne usually, the Blues. They did last year. So when they go to Perth, usually Queensland don't get off the bus. So if that all falls at the feet of Tommy Dearden, that again will be an unfair thing that happens. And so there'll just be this domino effect of you might see four or five different Queensland halfbacks in the next five games if it gets out of hand.
And we were talking about it yesterday, myself and Jono, we were about Fogarty. Like if you're going to drop Daly, why wouldn't you bring Fogarty in, someone who's they're on top of the table. They haven't – yeah, they're top of the table. They've been playing well. He's their chief playmaker, goal kicker. Very good kicking game. Like, why wouldn't you give him a crack first? Or do you think it's just an age thing as well where he's a bit older? He's already in his early 30s.
Yeah, it might be a bit overwhelming for Fogs at that level. You never know. He might have the same sort of like Dylan Walker sort of vibes where where it's, oh, this guy's killing it at Clubland. And you remember, Dylan Walker, he would kill it at Clubland.
Yeah, yep.
And then the Blues would pick him at 5'8", or fucking 7, or 4. And he'd just get overwhelmed by the situation. I don't want that for Tommy Dearden. That's what I feel that might happen next week. They lay it all at his feet. And remember, he came in that decider a couple of years back when Munster was crook. He played 6.
Yeah. And Daly was 7.
And he was running an edge, and he did a really good job of it. Now they got man of the match.
Yeah.
Scored a try. Did he score a try in that game?
Yeah.
He had one of the more memorable debuts than anyone's ever had. So to give him the 7 jersey, and now who's the captain?
Munster.
Okay, yeah, Munster's the captain. Yeah, sweet. He might slot in there, and they might just play left and right edge.
Yeah.
But they're both right side players.
No, nah, Munster's left.
Is he?
Yeah, left footer.
And is Tommy as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, they're both left-sided players. So one of them will have to jump on that edge on that right side.
Yeah, it'll be Tommy.
And there'll be traffic coming down there. You can just imagine the traffic Tommy's going to get coming his way. He's going to do an ample amount of defence in the first 20 minutes. And then it'll be a matter of whether or not he and Ponga and Munster can get something going.
Yeah.
Because that's who it comes down to now. Daly's gone. And there's no Hunty there. So if you give Tommy the 7, he's going to have to play the way Tommy wants to play too.
Yeah, you can't put him in a corridor and tell him this is the way you're going to play. You've got to let him go how he usually goes.
Well, he's a natural footballer. And when I say that, I mean Tommy Dearden can probably play fullback.
Yeah.
If you asked him to.
Yeah.
He wouldn't take long to pick up the ways and means of how to play fullback.
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys. Not a very big dude. But I saw him standing next to Daly a few weeks ago and he didn't look much shorter.
Yeah.
So he's obviously got a point to prove. Hopefully he goes out there and brains it. I'll actually be cheering for him because I don't want to see him get pumped over there and then it be a dead rubber.
Yeah. Do you think if it's a dead rubber, does Billy clean house?
Oh. I don't know. I think Billy's got a bit more leeway with it.
Yeah.
Remember, he's won 3 of the last 5 series.
Yeah.
So he got Freddie Fittler hunted out of a job. Billy was very successful out the gate.
Yeah.
Won that decider with Hunty, and then they won the first 2 games the next year.
Yeah.
Like, Blue, there was chat about New South Wales having to rebuild, which they nearly very did. Remember, it was too much Penrith.
Yeah, and that's what – yeah, that was the talk was a lot – yeah, too much Penrith.
Too much Penrith. Yeah. I think I told you – I think I've spoken to you about this before. In that early 2020s period where the Blues had a gun team, Queensland obviously won that COVID year. Yeah, and the Blues, they rattled off another 2. Remember, they pumped Queensland in Queensland.
The old Queensland series, 21.
Yeah, and then 2022 is where it goes south for them. But at that point, with all those Penrith players, Billy would have had so much game film to look at, because it was a full Penrith core.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have been hard for him to figure out a game plan to stop that. Moses was the one that threw the spanner in the works.
Last year. Exactly.
And clearly Moses has figured something out about a Billy Slater-led Queensland team that a few other blokes weren't able to do.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting to see, because the Blues now are – that team will be set now for a while, I'd say.
Yeah, I don't think that changes too much.
Is anyone 30?
I'll have a look at that team again, but I don't think so. What do you got? Dylan Edwards, To'o, Crichton, Luttrell, Lomax, Moses, Cleary, King, Robson, Haas, Martin, Crichton. Maybe Crichton's your oldest player. Crichton, Isaiah Yeo.
Yeo would be the oldest.
Yeah. Connor Watson, but Spencer.
But Isaiah Yeo's only 29. He looks way older than he is.
So that's it. Like, you can keep – if you can keep 13 or 14 out of that 17 for the years going ahead, I think they'll be very hard to beat.
And then does Queensland start doing the whole changing halfbacks and trying to get a half?
Yeah, well, how long before they remember there was talk of bringing young Perdue in game one?
Like, imagine that.
Mate, well, they brought young Toyer in after 9 games.
Jackson's pretty handy footballer.
Yeah.
He's certainly one of the
– I remember watching him here for Paddy's. 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this kid's...
Well, it was him and young Kero.
Yeah.
And it was pretty evident that they were the best players on the field.
Yeah.
And word is that they're both pushing for, like, clearly Purdue's full-time and...
Yeah.
And Kero's not far off. Well, they were happy to let Robson go.
Yeah.
So clearly there's a young fella coming that might have enough to make it.
Well, there's talk of Corey Pakes going up there.
There is that chat too. Well, the Bronx have fucking 7 hookers.
Yeah.
But not to get off track, if they lay it at the feet of Tommy Dearden, that's going to be so much pressure, but he's a pressure cooker guy. I think he'll be okay. I think you just never know going over there. The Queensland just get pumped when they go there every time. They're lucky Tommy Trbojevic isn't going.
Yeah, if Turbo was fit.
Because that's usually a bad omen.
Yeah.
Turbo going to Perth, Blues do some alteration of their jersey and fucking, and then it goes downhill quickly for Queensland. You don't want those scenes. I don't like seeing Queensland get pumped. I like seeing deciders.
Mm. I want nice, a decider hard, every close year. Games.
Every year I want a decider.
And I seen Gus said on 100%, he said, yeah, just this is where the New South Wales team need to be like on their heels, because this is when you write Queensland off. This is when they pull something out of the hat, like the COVID year or in years past where they haven't had the best team, but yeah, they always pull something out and always find a way to win that game.
Yeah, I think they have that. They have the makings of that. And when you throw Tommy Dearden in there, and then like you said, you got that old coaching staff, they just know all about. That's a funny thing though. None of those blokes in that coaching staff were part of miraculous wins. They were the dynasty that pumped everyone.
Yeah.
So they don't really know much about underdog status. It's funny when that dynasty was running, Queensland was still trying to push underdog tags.
For what, 11, 12 years?
You know, you had Josh fucking Adam, you had Josh Reynolds and fucking Pierce in the halves in over their heads, and Queensland were claiming underdog status. And you had Robbie Farah, who went all right at Origin, but like just the matchups that they used to have were always mismatches. Do you remember when fucking who had to mark Greg Inglis?
Bell?
Yeah.
Nah, Adam Quinn?
No. The fella from Parramatta, the bald, was it Bo Scott?
Yeah, Bo Scott. Yeah.
And he had night it was such a mismatch, bro.
Yeah.
It was one of the worst things I'd ever seen. Queensland are now gonna have those sort of issues where you got Crichton on one edge, you got Tom, you got Trelly on the other, and you're gonna have to find bodies to match that.
Yeah.
That's why Capewell always gets a call up.
Yeah.
Because he'll stand out there and he'll tackle Trell. Yeah. There'll be no second guessing. Like you saw a few weeks ago with Hemmer and Vell made a few indecisive decisions.
Yeah.
You just won't see that with Capewell. And I always give my Damo shit about who Queensland pick.
Yeah.
But Capewell will get out there and do a job.
Yeah.
He won't let the jersey down. And I guess that's what Billy needs. He needs blokes to go over there and be able to weather the storm of Payne Haas and Max King. And can you imagine if Cam Murray was in that team too?
Yeah.
There's just and Turbo instead of whoever.
Yeah. Well, there's just what happens if Turbo was firing? Is he fullback?
I think Edwards, until the Blues lose, Edwards is there, I guess.
Yeah.
That's how they seem to operate, the Blues, with the fullback. It doesn't really – they don't have to play the best game ever, but if we win, they stay.
Yeah.
Queensland are going to have that – because Reece Walsh came back. He looked like fucking Brett Mullins.
Yeah.
So now does Billy pick Reece Walsh next game if they win?
If Blues win?
No, if Queensland win.
Yeah, well. And
if Queensland win and it doesn't look as good as it could.
Going into Sydney.
Does Walshy come in? Does Ponga – because, like, Ponga's – he doesn't get enough credit for his effort. That's one thing. Like he'll give you effort for 80 minutes. So he'd be a hard man to drop. You just never know. Like you said before, does Queensland clean house? If they lose in Perth, it might be – you might see a completely different team.
I think if they lose in Perth, Ezra will be in the 17 for game three. 18th man for this game, which – a lot of people aren't happy about, but like Gordy and Gus said, what is he supposed to do? He was given a suspension by the NRL, by the Broncos. He served it. It wasn't his fault. And he's back. And if you're playing NRL, you're immediately up for selection for Origin.
Yeah, and the colour of his skin too is also an issue for people.
Yeah, well.
You know, people think he's getting a free pass due to that, which is the argument I see on social media. But then you have to also take into account that this – when was the – he played – his last game of footy was well over 300 days ago.
Yeah, it was like July or August last year.
So the argument that he hasn't served any time, the dude was on the tools doing fucking – doing demolition work, wasn't he? Or
yeah,
doing lecky
like
work
that,
or something. So you don't think he was at the Head Noise Hotel every day?
Yeah.
Doing that shit? So it's a matter of like people these days, they want to see you publicly embarrassed. They don't want you to deal with it in the privacy of your own home and have to go to fucking do labouring for 6 months and shit like that where they can't see you suffering.
And being
people just want to see you embarrassed on a public setting.
Yeah, and being Men's Mental Health Month as well, a lot of people, you would have thought, like you've seen the Bronx on the weekend wearing the black jerseys for the Black Dog Institute and all that.
Bronx should wear them jerseys every week.
I think so too. But like...
they're sick jerseys.
Everyone was quick to jump on that and say how good of a job that is, but then yet 3 days later when they're picking a Queensland team, like you just read the comments, like... Ezra will be in the comments reading what's going on. Like,
Surely not.
Like these young boys, live on social media. Like, surely they're going to be reading comments, and like, how's that not going to affect someone's mental health reading all that shit? Like you said, hopefully they're not, but
yeah, man, it's one of those things. Because the other day when I first saw him picked, my initial reaction was, it's a bit hypocritical of the NRL to preach a certain thing and then pick players like that in their spectacle. I saw the argument. But after I had, like, I spoke to DKs and I spoke to a few other people about it, I realised, like, if a court punishes you for something and then the NRL punishment is bigger, what's the argument?
Yeah.
You know? I understand he hurt a young girl and she had to go to the hospital and whatnot. No, nobody died.
But I think a lot of the people who are writing these comments and that, like, they're only listening to what people like Buzz Rothfield and all of them are talking about, where they're like, last night he went on a tirade saying, oh, he was filled up with drugs and alcohol in his system and all this.
But, well, that's factual.
But coming back to that, it was traced with drugs. He wasn't high on it. It was
On the packet the day before.
Yeah, he was on the packet probably, a few days before.
You know how it goes?
Yeah, it wasn't like he just had a bag and then fucking started driving.
He wasn't doing packet in the car.
Yeah.
You know how it goes, man. I've done packet and then you do it all day at golf or wherever you are, and then the next day there's remnants of it in your system. Yeah. And the decision to go driving around is idiotic.
Yeah.
It is for when any of us ever done it, and it was for when Ezra did it. But for Buzz to insinuate that he was
off his head while he was driving,
going from a prease to a kick on or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just disingenuous from Buzz, and it's pile on. But that's what, over the last 4 or 5 weeks, the glamorization of Channel 9 and Fox has been, like, I reckon it's ridiculous. It's taken away from the footy.
Yeah.
I don't like talking about journalists and,
yeah.
Like, who's Buzz Rothfield to call out anybody? You know, full well back in the day, Buzz Rothfield would have, look at the era he came up in.
Yeah.
He was running around with Jack Gibson.
And, funny story, like, when we were in Vegas last year at the after party in the nightclub, Buzz and Brent Reed were in the middle of the nightclub with all the players and stuff, like partying with them.
Mm.
So it's like, hang on, you're here partying with the boys in Vegas, yet you're telling me you're meant to go on behind a camera and like rat on them? Like,
well, that's why the players get so upset about it these days. Because you have these journalists who initially act like they're building a relationship with the player.
It's like they're just sucking up to them.
But at any time it goes negative, they'll throw said player under the bus.
Yeah.
No hesitation.
Yeah, well, it's pretty funny because there was a player X, I won't name, but a part of the Rabbitohs organisation. I'm sure you can put two and two together between media and Rabbitohs player. But yeah, they had some nice colourful words to each other in the nightclub there.
Of course they would, man.
Yeah, about that kind of
someone?
Someone else.
Everyone knows Trell approaches him, bro.
Yeah.
Trell went up to Braith and Asta and he was having dinner with a bird.
Yeah.
And he's like, why are you fucking calling me out on TV all the time?
Yeah.
Trell's got no issue with that shit.
Yeah, so it wasn't Trell, but it was, someone around Trell's circle that's also in the Rabbitohs. So know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, bro. What do you want these players to do? It's...
Yeah, just cop it. Yeah,
it's
you can't
so ridiculous
cop it.
Because on one hand they'll say, oh, we need these players to, hold up an image of the NRL. And then so when the players choose not to talk to the media cracks the sads and act like, what do we do wrong? You know what you did wrong? For every week on NRL 360 when you berate a player or 100% footy or wherever it is.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing, Jakey. We don't read the newspapers anymore, but apparently they're harsh in the paper.
Yeah.
No, who reads the paper?
But who's writing the paper? Buzz Rothfield.
That's right. And he's writing for his generation and our father's generation and all that sort of stuff. So when – and it's funny too. That's why when you talk to you know, you're on a mine site and you talk to someone
older
who's
fellas,
50 and they're like, fucking Latrell, he's a grub, isn't he?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, how'd you read that? And they're like, you know, where'd you hear that?
And because they're not phone savvy, I read it in the
paper.
They're
old tech savvy. Yeah, you know, they use Pocket News. Remember Pocket News on your 3315.
Yeah,
and then these days you basically just get Daily Mail articles or Courier Mail articles sent to you.
Yeah,
and it's just salacious bullshit where there's always a narrative being painted of a player doing something wrong or the player always in the wrong. These players just cop so much shit, unjustifiably too. I don't think, because the whole thing about rugby league players being role models, I've never bought that for a second.
Nah.
Not the rugby league players I grew up around.
Yeah, and once you're in around that circle, like you wouldn't want footy players to be role models at all.
Well,
like they're boys at the end of the day. Well, like
Ezra Mann is a role model in the footy aspect, but you don't know Ezra Mann as a person, so you can't be a role model in a mentor sense, you know what I mean? Yeah. Everyone has role models, but he's just more of a public figure role model where young kids want to play football like him or young blokes want to date a girl like his girl.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not a character-based thing, and that's what people don't understand. Footy players have the similar character to most coal miners or, you know, these aren't white-collar dudes.
Nah.
So for Ezra to have however long he had out of the game and to still be getting the whole he should be in jail chat, it's just ridiculous. It took me 5 days to understand that, but I've changed my perspective on it.
Yeah.
Because I was still thinking, do they really want him playing in this game? But then when you really break it down, you and I both know if I drove out of here and like had a car crash and I had weed in my system, I would want things to go as smoothly as possible.
Yeah.
We all would.
Yeah.
And they did for Ezra, and the NRL didn't banish him to non-existence like they do
like
to
they
some
have
players.
With some other players that we know. Yeah.
Like they have with players in the past. You know, but this is different leadership. These guys are a bit more like David's Silver,
yeah,
Adam Silver.
Yeah.
A bit left-leaning.
Yeah.
They're not like the...
Well, Toddy Greenberg was hard on the boys.
Toddy Greenberg was harsh on the boys.
Yeah.
Remember, he banished Todd Carney.
Yeah.
Pretty sure Toddy banished Benny, didn't he?
Yeah. From the Dogs in the NRL.
Yeah, yeah. So there's just different times and there's different places, and when there's a bit of a left-leaning conglomerate running the game, they're not going to be as harsh on players.
Yeah.
The
like you said, on the last episode, you got Abdo running the show.
I'm sick of Abdo, to be honest with you, man, because now that I've read so much about him, I see when I hear him speak, I see the facade.
Yeah.
And I see what he's trying to do. He's trying to sanitize the game but make it global as well. So, like, you know where you have a sport and it's centralized? Like, only those people care about it.
Yeah.
So it becomes a big thing, like soccer in, you know, you've
like
seen
college football.
Like basketball in Spain and that.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you have it centralized, it's bigger there.
Yeah.
And it's more tribal, which is what the NRL is based on.
Well, like the AFL in Victoria.
That's right. But blokes like Andrew Abdo think they're global. You know what globalists are like.
Yeah.
Andrew Abdo is a sporting globalist. He wants localized sport that's played by a masculine group of society to be a globalized scale played by everyone. That's toned way down from its original product. Now, Andrew Abdo didn't get rid of shoulder charging. He didn't get rid of fighting. But he's going to be the one that makes it less physical.
Yeah.
And they're already pushing that. You've seen it. We spoke about it 10 times. We're going to talk it into existence. They're going to crack down real soon because blokes like Ray Price and blokes like, you know, Tommy Radonicus and blokes like that, yeah, who obviously has passed away, but blokes like Carl Webb, Rob Burrow from fucking...
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be more and more prevalent, Jakey. And these dudes are going to break down because the game they were playing was way too physical and it had way too many hostile elements. Like the footy in the 80s was ridiculous. What about the footage floating around?
Well, we just watched a 98 grand final.
And that was physical out the gate.
And there was three tackles in a row. We're like penalty, penalty, penalty.
What about that footage floating around of the Western Magpies in the late 70s?
Yeah.
In the sheds. Slapping fuck out of each other.
Yeah.
Radonicus has a bloke under the hook arm.
Yeah.
Their fight breaks out. The coach gets them all around. And then they all just, like, they're all ready. That sort of shit, man, is going to come back to bite rugby league. Because you know full well, NFL has an issue with it. And they're wearing helmets.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether wearing a helmet is more volatile for your brain in terms of shaking it around, then no helmet.
Well, there was talk that it was because when you move your head, like you'd hit the side of your helmet rather than
your brain bounces.
Rather than go with the flow of your head.
Well, they reckon boxers have the worst CTE.
Yeah,
from just constantly getting jabbed in the fucking head. It's not even about getting knocked out.
Yeah,
it's more or less about how many times have you been hit in the head. So hopefully the NRL doesn't have too big issues with players, but I can see it now, man. You just hear some players, like Mario Fennec is fucked up.
Yeah.
He's not in a good way.
I think your people like your, like Jakey Trbojevic will be in 20 years. I want to see what he looks like.
It's funny, Damo was saying he's already got a really bad hunched back, Jake Trbojevic.
Yeah.
And now I haven't been able to see anything other than that
since. Yeah.
Every time I see him, he's like, his neck's really protruded forward, the lad. So hopefully he doesn't have any issues. You wouldn't wish that on anyone. But so yeah, don't get me started on Abdo because I'll go off on a tangent and I don't like him. And I see everyone else suck his dick and it makes me sick.
Yeah. So moving on from footy, we'll run through the games on the weekend. Manly boys are up pretty comfortable and Knights come back there.
Yeah, Manly are so painful to watch. It's funny because I've been watching Manly and turning it off because I don't want to watch them.
Yeah.
But last week I turned it off because I was tired and they were up 22-0.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, that'll be sweet.
Yeah, Newcastle fans booing their own players at halftime and then they're all there cheering like number one fans at the end.
Adam O'Brien saying Newcastle don't know footy.
Yeah, yeah. Which is...
Me and Ant spoke about this, bro. Newcastle fans should just not turn up one weekend.
Yeah. I think just because they love it so much.
Well, it's one town team.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, Melbourne put...
It's Green Bay Packers, you know. Yeah, it's
Brisbane.
Nothing else going on there. Well, Brisbane was very lucky for 30 years to be a one-town team.
Yeah.
Considering the scale of that place.
Yeah.
And you'd have, you know, they had competition, South Queensland Crushers and all that. Nothing that would ever reach the heights of Broncos, who just generated $100 million.
Yeah.
So, yeah, poor form from Adam O'Brien. I'm sure he learned his lesson.
Yeah.
Matty Johns came straight after him.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're the ones you don't want coming after you.
You don't want anyone with the name Johns having an issue with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then he'll go talk to a bloke named Harrigan.
Who'll go talk to
Badiris.
Who'll talk to Hughes.
And you'll be gone.
Yeah.
So the good thing about Newcastle is the people running it are
old boys.
Are the old boys.
Yeah, so moving on, Friday night's games, two one-sided beltings. Melbourne put the cleaners through Cowboys 38-14, and I think St George are securing my pick for Wooden Spoon. They're still sitting 11th, but yeah, to lose to Dolphins 56-6, they didn't show too much in that game.
That's probably the most well-rounded Dolphins performance I've ever seen.
It's probably the best thing, best game I've seen Katoa play.
Oh.
I think he'll slot into that New South Wales 7 jersey.
Is he a blue?
Yeah. Penrith Jr. So he was stuck behind Cleary. That's why Bennett got him from there. He was at Penrith.
I bet Penrith wish they had him still.
Yeah, well, imagine him at 6.
He's very poised.
Yeah.
His patience is up there with some of the best I've ever seen watching footy. But I'm just a dude watching footy.
So looking through these other games, they're all big scores. Like I picked Cronulla to beat the Warriors, and I think danger signs at Cronulla. They've lost 2 in a row against the Roosters with no Origin players put 40 on them, and then the Warriors put 40 on them at home. Danger signs there.
Cronulla are floundering.
I think so.
They're like little fish at the moment, just swimming around, floundering.
Yeah, they're in crisis mode. They're already talking about, do they move Nico back to fullback?
Why do they always bring that up?
I don't know. But I think
Nico's off the pace to play 5'8", let alone fullback.
And we spoke about this a few months ago. I think they're going to regret paying 1.2 or 1.3, whatever they're paying for Nico, over those 5-6 years. Because I think he's only in year 2 of that 5-year deal.
Well, they're gonna have to deal with the fact that they paid him that much cash, mate, because they got no other options. Did they let Atkinson go?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're done then.
Yeah, and then Brisbane finally turned on with Reece Walsh and those black jerseys that we spoke about earlier against a very bad Gold Coast team, so I wouldn't look too far into that one. They got the bye again this week, surprise.
Everyone jumped, like every Bronx fan just gets so jolly when you win again though.
I'm not yet.
It's one thing I've noticed over the last like 5 years where Bronx will have one of them losing streaks and then use a win one game and then it'll be...
We're back.
Book the fucking limos. Book the fucking limos.
Yeah, yeah, some people already talking grand final tickets for Brisbane after they win one game. I don't think so just yet.
Book the limo.
So, yeah, moving on to Sunday. Rabbits were up 12-0 and that's when I left. I went down and went to go watch South and North Reggies at Shark Park.
Well done to Josh Papali'i.
Scoring a double.
And breaking that all-time record, Canberra Games.
Yeah. So good. Like, you see Sticky crying. Like, it just goes to show how much...
I think he was laughing.
It just goes to show how much, like, they love him as well as a coach. Like, that's how much he puts in for his players. And then, like, so there's always that effort there. And a big thing for Canberra as well, they still haven't had a bye yet.
So they still got 2 byes to go.
They still got 3 byes to go.
They might...
So they're top of the table.
They could win the minor premiership.
Yeah, so they're 2 points behind.
Their run home is pretty cruisy.
They're 2 points behind Raiders and they still got 6 points in them with 3 byes to go.
Behind Warriors, you mean?
No, they're second now behind the Doggies.
What's the top 4?
Doggies, Raiders, Warriors, Melbourne. Where
shit.
Doggies and Melbourne have already had 2 byes. Warriors have had 1. And, yeah, Raiders haven't had 1 yet. So to be sitting second with no byes. So you've already got 4 points on the Dogs and Melbourne.
Wow.
And to come back from Vegas as well.
Big Dogs coming first.
Yeah. Oof, oof. And then what was that other game on Sunday? Was Para and – oh, sorry, West Tigers and Penrith. I seen that. Did you see that hip drop tackle that didn't get called near the line?
No, I didn't.
It was for the Tigers and, yeah, it was near the line. It was a clear hip drop. And wasn't called, and people were calling for it to be a penalty try. But I don't know, Penrith are Penrith. They've jumped up into 13th now, so they'll just keep going as they go, I think. But
they'll do well to make the 8, though.
But yeah, that's there's no rest in Origin boys now. Like they got to back up.
Oh yeah.
Like you can't be resting them now because you're fighting to get into the eight. And then the
remember Cleary used to have like full 6 weeks off after Origin.
He'd do a hammy or a shoulder or something and play one or two games from.
Go over to see Mary.
Yeah, he'd probably only play one or two games between Origin 3 and the finals.
Go over there and fucking, who's Mary play for in the
Chelsea? Year?
I thought that was Chelsea? Sam Kerr.
Yeah, Sam Kerr's at Chelsea, sorry. Man City.
Does Mary play for Man City?
I think so, yeah.
So where would you rather hang out after Origin, Penrith or Man fucking City?
Apparently, she's recovering from an ACL as well at the moment. So speedy recovery.
Plenty of leg rubs for Nath.
Yeah.
And Mary.
And that last game yesterday we spoke about earlier, the Doggies with Galvin coming off the bench.
60,000 at a call.
60,000 at a call. How good? $10 tickets.
Yeah, that's solid from the Dogs or NRL, whoever initiated that.
Nah, that's a Dogs thing. That's a Gus thing.
Yeah. Well, $10 is what you should be rewarded with getting out there to begin with.
Yeah, getting out the Homebush.
Everyone knows going to Homebush sucks.
Yeah, and then local league around Mackay, I was fortunate enough we got down there and did some footage of the North versus South game. Got an interview done, but Michael's playing tricks with me, so didn't really get to put that up. But reserve grade, I think Prossy did the double. They beat Maggies in both grades. Moranbah beat Serena in both grades. Brothers pumped West in both grades. And then, South beat Devils 26-18. We had a look at those A-grade scores there before. Brothers smacked West. It's still like it's the only it's only a two or three team comp now. I think it's a three team comp between
Brothers, South and Moranbah.
Yeah. Oh, so sorry on that one. Maggie's A grade beat Prossy 32-16. But yeah, Moranbah beat Serena 28-12. Brothers beat West 44-0. South had the bye because North don't have an A grade side. But some, like you said, there's some names in that Brothers team that you were expecting that aren't there.
I know Matty Scaife, he's on his honeymoon.
Yeah.
In New York City.
Oh.
Shout out Scaife. Looks like he's having a good time. Nice wedding too. And a beautiful day from all reports. But yeah, there was a few players there that I didn't recognise. But yeah, Lukey Fletcher and Jaden Batchelor, your regulars. Who will carry that team? If Heggie's the coach, they'll always have a crack, Brothers. I don't think they'll go missing in that regard. But have they played? Did they beat South?
Yeah.
They did beat South.
Hang on, I'll just have a look. I think that was round seven. Nah.
South won, didn't they?
No, they haven't played each other yet.
Yeah, right.
Because they were supposed to, 22-16, 11th of May, South beat Brothers. So, like, that's a close game.
Oh, yeah, we were at work.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, it might be a Brothers-South grand final.
Brothers-South or Moranbah will be there knocking. But, yeah, so that's enough footy. Said at the start of the show, the explosion that happened, there was a report of an explosion at airbase in Okinawa, at a US airbase. Have you read into that or?
Well, is that like in the last couple of hours?
That was June 9th. So what was that? That was yesterday.
In today's news cycle, what you just said to me, I couldn't care about anymore. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's I'm the exact same. Like,
fuck whoever, like, fuck that base.
Like
fuck an hour.
Jono asked me yesterday, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? I'm like, bro, I've not seen anything.
Bro, I don't. I.
Like for people like us who, like, we need to kind of be in the rabbit hole news kind of stuff.
Well, here's the thing, though, about being in the rabbit hole. You only need 15 minutes of the rabbit hole to realize what's going on. And then you're like, okay, sweet. I don't need to be in this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't need to be deep diving Instagram or Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
But because, you know, like for blokes like Jono and that, that have a family and all that sort of stuff, or who maybe aren't as conspiratorial minded all the time.
I think he is now.
Yeah, righto, well.
And he's just like, just all this stuff that's going on, like the Elon and Trump stuff. He was hitting me up about the stuff in California, like all the stuff that, like, we see going on. I just haven't had time to look at it because I've been too busy planning a wedding. And
well, Diddy's in their name and names, and now all this crazy stuff is happening every day.
Bang.
Well, I don't know if there's a correlation. Maybe there's not. Maybe there is. But it just seems like every time, like I said the other day, we get close to these fucking pedophile rings being brought down and they, you know. And then you say, well, Zach, who's they? Because the argument is, are the pedophile rings the same people that pull the events to make, you know, how is it connected?
Yeah.
How does stuff happen at Okinawa that has anything to do with Diddy?
Yeah.
But it's – and I don't really know how to answer those sort of questions. That's where being a conspiracy person will bring you unstuck.
Yeah.
It's because you're saying that –
because you don't have the exact answers what people are looking for.
Because you're telling people that a bomb exploding in a military base would have a correlation to – pedophiles being named in fucking in court.
Yeah.
And you can't really make the correlation because it's too much of a – you then have to convince them that they're being distracted.
Yeah.
And that's very hard to do.
Yeah.
Convincing people that they're being played is way harder to do than playing people.
Yeah.
That's the first rule. Always – like, what is it? It's easier to convince someone they've been lied to. It's easier to lie to someone than convince them they've been lied to.
Yeah.
So that's why it's – dude, I needed a spell from it the other day because I was deep diving the Elon Trump thing.
Yeah.
And
– what's your thoughts on that? Do you think that's just all part of the plan or is that like a legit thing between them?
Nah, dude. Israel owns all those people.
Yeah.
Every last one of them. So
they're becoming more and more in the picture now, them fellas.
Oh, they're in the picture.
They've always been in the picture, but they're just starting to show themselves a lot more now.
Oh, they're fucking well in the frame.
Yeah.
They're going to play this. It's just going to be whataboutism in perpetuity because the team thing is still so strong. You know, like, it's like Trump's going, oh, I'm going to release the Epstein files when I get elected. Well, not if you were fucking over there with them.
Yeah.
You know, and then Cash Patel and Dan Bongino are doing damage control saying there's no footage of anyone doing anything. Epstein killed himself properly. It's like, really? Now you're going to gaslight us with that?
Yeah.
I don't buy it for a second. I never have. I know Epstein didn't kill himself. That's where a lot of people jumped into the conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
But as time went on.
And people got the same people that jumped in on Epstein need to jump in on what's her name over in the WA.
Yeah, that's right. They need to. Well, I think people
They should be jumping
Virginia
up
Guffrey.
And down. Yeah, they should be jumping up and down about her. Like we've mentioned a couple times.
Was she an Australian citizen?
Yeah. And where's the Australian government on all this? Like it just goes to show where they are.
In their terrarium being lizards.
Yeah.
You know where them cunts are, bro. Hanging out in China with Penny Wong's family. It's like, yeah, we're no better, man, Australia. But clearly everyone went to the island.
Yeah.
Bill, Hillary, George, Barack, Donald, JD, everyone's been there. Anyone who's in a political sphere right now.
Anyone who's in a celebrity sphere.
Anyone who's in a celebrity or a political sphere has been blackmailed to at least a small extent by the Mossad. They're running shit. If they're running the media and they're running Hollywood, they're blackmailing everyone who's involved. That's how it works. That's how it works. They push the agendas. These idiots make the stupid music. These girls push the sex. These fuck, you know.
These and fellas we're, pull the parties.
And we're running it all. And we're pulling the strings. And we have footage of every one of these people doing ridiculously disgusting shit.
Yeah, doing stuff you wouldn't,
And then people have stuff on us. Like, don't get me wrong. The Jewish dudes aren't the fucking, they're not the top of the chain.
They answer to someone.
They're smart enough to realize how to manipulate people. Clearly, if you're able to infiltrate Hollywood, media, Big Pharma, clearly there's something more going on there.
Yeah.
So if, and like I said to you on the podcast the other day, the footage from Epstein Island doesn't implicate just doesn't implicate Zionists or whoever was there representing Israel or whatever. It implicates everybody who was there.
Yeah.
P. Diddy and, you know.
Well, a lot of people forget about what Jay-Z has to do with all this as well.
Well, he's been real quiet.
Very.
He's been super quiet. And he has to be, Jake, because
he doesn't want his demons getting released.
No, mate. That's the one thing. If you stay on the narrative, you don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
Jay-Z had rape allegations against him. He didn't have to do anything in a public setting to exempt himself from that, or to didn't have to deny anything. Because he never once went out of his way to call out the JEWS.
Yeah.
Like Kanye did. And now where's Kanye? In a fucking
box.
Yeah, bro. So we all know full well. But the Diddy's in court naming names, and I think there's a bit of damage control going on. There's a bit of scrambling.
You've got riots in LA.
Oh, Georgie Soros. They would have said to George Soros straight away.
I see they're already.
Can you get 100,000 of your people to LA to fucking
hang on,
riot?
I'll just get it up. Tripoli just shared.
Sorry
it.
For the sniffing. I'm a bit fluey.
I seen Tripoli just share it before. Where is he?
Wait, George, can you fly?
It's on Craigslist ads. Looking for the toughest badasses in Los Angeles. Compensation, $6,500 to $12,500 a week.
Yeah, bro.
They're looking for the old.
And you know what? You know something I found out? A lot of that US aid money goes back to paid actors and paid. So tax money goes back to then people running a false flag protest. That's fucking insane, man.
Yeah.
I can't believe that sort of shit. Oh, yeah. They see on Craigslist they have we need false flag actors for a school shooting. It's like, what? What are you talking about? You need a what?
And it's always the same. Like, how many times have we seen the same people at all
these events?
Yeah,
there's that lady that's been at – she was at –
Sandy Hook.
And then she was at Miami school shooting.
Yeah.
Where David Hogg and them lads were running around.
Yeah.
With the FBI. And David Hogg is the son of an FBI. It's like, fuck. Is everything just theater? Is the Epstein Island thing theater? Is, you know, I don't think it is, man. You know how, like, they say, oh, well, conspiracy people, a broken clock's right twice a day.
Yeah.
I don't think so with this. I honestly do think that everyone in positions of power that run the free world are compromised because they've done bad stuff.
Yeah.
Whether it be, like we always say, doing bad stuff to underage women or even adolescents,
kids, yeah,
or having stuff done to them by their handlers or by a DD type person, or, you know, it's not just a matter of, oh, these people go over to an island and they do X, Y, and Z. They may be so traumatized from stuff done to them, they don't step out of line.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Britney Spears.
Yeah. Timberlake.
Fuck, man. Any of them Disney kids.
Yeah. Drake.
There's a fucking deep dive, Jakey, if you want to go down that rabbit hole one day.
Oh, one day we will go down
of
that
the,
one.
Of the Disney kids.
Yeah.
And how they've all fucking turned out.
Yeah.
And we can deep dive Corey Feldman too if you want to.
Yeah.
Because he's been talking about this shit for since like 98.
Time. Yeah.
Because he was part of the two Coreys, Corey Feldman, Corey Haim. Corey Haim, rest in peace now, but apparently they were getting molested from fucking 10 to 17. Openly, and people knew about it too. And people would just laugh it off like it was gay activity. And these dudes were like, well, we're fucking 14. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty rough stuff. And he was on TV one day.
Oh, he was that kid in Jumanji.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he was on TV that day saying, look, me and Corey were getting molested for years, and then old mate was trying to victim blame him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whoa. But then when you see that stuff happen, then you realize, like, oh, TV anchors too. Anyone who has an audience is compromised one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'm fully at that point now. Even with the football players in that, like, not every NFL player is in the Illuminati. That's not what I'm saying. But if you're big enough to have an audience that follows your opinion,
yeah,
you will be in, yeah, there one way or another, whether it be from a third-party sacrifice, whether it be from you sacrificing your body, whether it be from you engaging in a ritual where you're harvesting fucking whatever out of something.
And you see the ones that always get the interviews or become like the higher up, they've always either lost a mum, lost a brother, lost a sister.
Mm.
Like you know, like going back to saying that with all like your rituals and that. Excuse Zach while he's chewing on that cough lolly, but
my apologies. Sorry, I didn't realize what I was doing. Jennifer Hudson's whole family's dead.
Yeah.
She doesn't have one living relative. So I don't know what fucking dark magic she engaged in, but there was clearly some. Avril Lavigne's best friend.
Lady Gaga, who the one who she stole.
Lady Gaga apparently stole her full identity.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga apparently got approached because her friend was about to crack it.
Yeah.
And then they were like, if you sacrifice her, we'll push you.
Yeah.
And then her friend was dead. And then Lady Gaga, gimme more. No, is that her? No.
Nah, that's Britney.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry. Oh. More of a Britney guy than a fucking.
Yeah, well, Lady Gaga singing.
Fuck Lady Gaga. But she did have that song, PG Chillin', DG Chillin'. You remember that one with Wale?
Yeah.
That was a fucking track. Me and DK used to bump that flat. My name's Wale and I came to kill him. Yeah, so people either go one way or the other, but no one at the moment in any public light that is dictating narratives, they're all fucking, it's all theater, mate. We have to realize that it's turning into class warfare.
Yeah.
Like the middle class, we're going to get our eyeballs taxed out and we're not going to have, there's not going to be a middle class.
No.
And then hopefully at that point, everyone in the middle class catches on to what has happened and then it can be class warfare. And I've said to you though, I'm not looking to have martial law in that, but we need to figure out a way to not be in the system like we are,
yeah,
and to be dependent on it, because the system is about to, Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
It's pretty evident. If the people running the West are all compromised by Mossad agents or have all been over to that island, then we need to go a different direction as people.
Yeah.
And those people can do whatever they want. They can do Elysium. They can do the fucking,
yeah,
you can build something up at low Earth orbit. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Leave us.
Yeah.
If you want to leave us, which seems to be the plan, you know, transhumanism. Basically, the plan is we all, this is what I read the other day, we all fucking merge with AI, but the elites bail out.
Yeah.
And so we all just here with machines and us. You've seen iRobot. What's that other fucking Disney one?
The other Will Smith one.
Yeah.
Fucking
Wall-E. Yeah, bro.
It's even, you look at, what's that one with the Big Hero 6?
Yes, that's the one I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
There's just so many of them movies now where it's like, oh, the elites fucking live underground and everyone else above it.
Yeah.
See, I don't know what they do, whether they leave or whether they go underground. It seems to me, and you know me, I'm a conspiracy guy, so they can't leave. They got nowhere to go.
There is no
way. They're underground.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff I'm seeing about underground, there's this lady running around talking to Tucker Carlson at the moment. Can't remember her name. She reckons there's 200 cities under the USA.
Yeah, well.
200 advanced elite communities.
And that's what they say. I've seen videos getting around. I'm sure you've seen them as well, where they say you don't see any elites in public.
Never.
They travel underground.
They've been traveling.
They reckon they have Starbucks underground. Like they have like drive-throughs underground.
Yeah, bro. Apparently since the 80s. In the late 90s is when it got going properly to the point where they didn't have to share the same air as us, basically. They're down there doing... Now, this isn't fucking Seth Rogen and those people. I'm talking about elite.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the people that own the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not talking about gatekeepers that don't have any pull. I'm talking about the big dogs who... Yeah, like I said, if they want, like, just don't make us merge with AI. I don't want to do that part. Like, you just can fuck off. You just can leave the Earth and see how we handle it. You aren't really doing much at this point anyway, except collecting money.
So breaking news, we'll get back onto Origin for a second. Slater's named his 17.
Yeah, go on.
So they got Ponga at the back, Coates, Toya, Vallet centre, Hammer on the wing.
Yeah.
Munster, Deed and halves. Mo and Tino up front. Harry at nine. Ruben Cotter, Kurt Capewell start. Trent Liero starting lock.
Yeah, I called that 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. Kurt Mann, Lindsay Collins, Jeremiah Nanai, Pat Carrigan.
Yeah.
So you've got Collins, Nanai, Carrigan off the bench. Ezra, 18th man, Jack Howarth, 19, Corey Horsburgh, 20.
I would have started Howarth instead of Holmes.
Yeah.
I would have just given Howarth a crack. Big body, Storm player, Bellamy product. Got held back a little while too, so he's hungry for it.
Do you think that 17 changes on game day?
No, I think they need...
They need someone like Carrigan off the bench.
You
want to
bring Spencer on? We're going to bring Carrigan and Cotter. Like, you know what I mean? You can't... You can't take off Cotter and Carrigan, put on Liero and expect him to handle Max King and fucking Spencer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Billy would have had to do, like, he had to alter it some way. Did you say Nanai's on the bench too?
Yeah. Kurt Mann, Collins, Nanai and Carrigan.
Called that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
See how much better that bench is?
Yeah.
And you just let Lindsay Collins who's starting? Mo
and Tino.
See, that might be enough to... Where's Collins? Not playing.
Nah, bench, 15.
It's a good bench. Yeah. Really good bench now. Kurt Mann there with Collins, Nanai and Carrigan. So all you have to do is get those first starting five to just fucking rip in and weather the storm.
Because... Nanai and Collins just say they come on after 25 minutes and then they play the rest of the game.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, Queensland are going to be looking to do basically two changes of four.
Yeah.
Throughout, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
And just do it each time. You just come on, you just go off, and then ready, go again. And so that way you don't have Spencer Leanu, who may have or may not have had already 60 minutes rest,
yeah,
coming on and fucking burying blokes that are tired.
Yeah. I think another change to look at is Val in the centres up against Critter.
Yeah, I just think Val was out of place on the wing last game.
Yeah.
When's the last time he played on the wing? 2018?
And Hammerstone has never played on the wing.
No, so there you, yeah, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face there, but yeah, putting Hammer on the wing and Val back into the centres.
Yeah.
But they just need to have Hammer in the team. He's one of the best Queensland players there is.
Yeah.
I've always heard that thing where Queensland,
I hope they give him a roaming role.
Well, Queensland just pick the best 17, man. They don't pick him. Yeah, they just fit him. They just fit him. Kurt Mann at 14, that's not very scary.
That's just work.
But Carrigan and Nenai on the bench, that's scary.
Yeah.
Origin, to me, and I'm just a dude who never cracked any sort of level of footy, Origin to me has always been about the bench. I remember watching games when I was little and then you just see someone come off the bench and completely alter the course of the game, sometimes win the game. Craig Wing used to do it. Dane Carlaw would do it. I watched Brad Clyde do it.
Dallas Johnson.
Sean Berrigan would come on and he would change the game.
Yeah.
To me, it's always been about the bench.
Even in the Dynasty, you had Cooper Cronk at 14.
Exactly right. And what would he do?
Yeah.
Come on and kick field goals and win games.
Yeah.
The starting 13 is about the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the bench is about the next 40.
Yeah.
And then the last 20 is about
who has the
cojones to do something here.
Yeah.
And who's got the ability to under fatigue. So the bench for me that Queensland picked, I love that bench, bro. That made me want to go for Queensland now.
Yeah.
Because they've changed it up a bit. They're not just going to send out Paddy to get bashed and have to do a – because last game, Paddy made like 60 tackles, didn't miss a tackle.
Yeah.
But did you remember him doing much in attack?
Nah.
He didn't have the legs for it, bro.
Nah.
Now he's going to come on 25 gone in the first half and be punching in around the ruck.
Yeah.
Punching in around tired bodies. And it may force Laurie to have to react. That's the one thing the Blues, in about game one, they didn't have to play reactionary footy once.
Yeah.
They were front foot. From when Lomax ran over Harry Grant, they were on the front foot.
Yeah.
And they didn't really relinquish it. And now Billy's looking to have more of a free-flowing first 20 where they're not getting bashed and then win the fatigue battle.
Yeah.
And then bring on Nenai, who's world class.
Yeah.
Who's one of the best second rowers in the world. And then you bring on Carrigan, who is, you could say, is the best front rower or lock in the world.
Yeah.
I'd take Carrigan over Yo any day.
Yeah.
Of the week. You might not believe this, but I'd probably take Nenai over Martin for attacking ability too.
Yeah.
Maybe not in defence.
Yeah.
But those kick chases that Nenai does, man. You ever remember any second rowers doing that shit?
Not really.
No. Ben Kennedy wasn't doing that shit. So Queensland now have the elite of
They've got the advantage on the bench.
Yeah, but
that's another game within the game.
They've got the Australian second rower and lock on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. The Blues
don't have that on the bench. The Blues have Spencer, but all it's going to take, bro, is one Queenslander to rush out of the line and just fucking jam him. And then that will...
I think that could be Carrigan when he comes off the bench.
That's what I mean, mate.
Just run that outside, inside and just wipe him.
Yeah. You know, I've played footy before too when big fellas are running a clinic. You just kick it away from them. Yeah. I remember people used to say in juniors, we were like, kick it away from Hunty.
Yeah.
Don't kick it to Hunty. He used to screw off the kickoff and shit.
Yeah.
But if you bring Leno on at 30 minutes gone and Carrigan's been on for 5 minutes, do you think they're not going to kick it to him?
Yeah.
It's a matter of, are we mentally sound enough to want to kick it to you?
Yeah.
If we're fucked and losing.
Yeah.
What would I sprint down there and bash myself if we're getting pumped?
Could you imagine? Yeah,
and you're fresh.
Imagine Leno been on for 10, New South Wales score. And Billy goes, righto, I'll make two changes here. Nenai, Carrigan on.
Yeah.
Ball's going straight to Spencer. Two fresh bodies sprinting down at him.
And you got Lindsay Collins there too. So when they bring Stefano on, you bring Lindsay Collins into the game.
Yeah.
Your likeness for likeness isn't so far off like last game.
Yeah.
Last game was Look, the thing about Queensland in that last game, mate, they looked like they thought the crowd would keep them in it.
Yeah.
That's the way they played to me. Like, it looked like, oh, if we just stick around, the crowd will get us home. That's not going to happen there anymore. They actually have to get their footy on, and Ponga has to look like Ponga. Hema has to do Hema stuff.
Yeah.
The first game last year before Reece Walsh got knocked out,
yeah,
it looked like Queensland were about to show us what they could look like properly.
Yeah.
Remember, Nenno made that break, Dearden made a break.
Yeah.
Hunty scored. Daly fucking, Daly was all over the place for that first 12 minutes. And then Walsh gets concussed, and then it's sort of like a different parallel now that we're in.
Yeah.
I'd like to see what happens if Suwali doesn't shoot out there.
Yeah.
I think about that game one all the time, because it would have been a fucking belter, because Queensland looked red hot.
Yeah.
And they haven't looked the same since, I'm sorry.
And Reece hasn't looked the same since.
Reece Walsh hasn't. He found a little bit of form the other night.
Yeah.
But they haven't recovered from Walsh getting knocked out. Yeah, they won that game.
Yeah, because they had 70 minutes whatever. Or 12 on the field.
Yeah, that's right, mate. They haven't won it. They haven't done much since then. And they've only scored 2 tries since then too. That's the real...
Yeah.
That's the real issue, is who's going to get us points. But I just think Dearden brings just a little bit more than Daly at this point in time in terms of energy.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap that up there. I got to bounce. We both got to get ready for work this week. Daughter's got athletics at 1:30. School carnival's getting on. So
what time is it? 1:11.
So we'll get bouncing. We're an hour and a little bit. We're almost around that hour and a half anyway.
Yeah, sweet.
But keep it lookout. This is episode 49.
Just before we wrap it up, 2 little deep dives. Mobland.
Yes.
Is really good. And Waco it's Paramount. It's a TV show, but it's got big names in it.
Yeah.
And my boy Taylor Kitsch off fucking Lone Survivor.
Yeah.
You know, the good looking dude in Lone Survivor.
Yeah.
He plays David Koresh in Waco, and it's really good. But that's only if you're into that sort of shit.
Yeah.
And on Netflix there was the submersible Titan that fucking got squished down near the Titanic.
What's the go with that one?
Just let people watch it for themselves.
Yeah, I'll watch it. They'll figure out. I'll download it tonight and watch it.
It's just you can be smart enough to make $1 billion, but not smart enough to make logical decisions, obviously.
Yeah.
But anyway, everyone have a nice rest of their week.
Episode 49, thanks for listening. Episode 50,
For people asking for Mick Lockyer's episode, we're just still doing some editing.
Yeah.
Because Jackie's been away and I've been at work, so this is the first time we've lined up again. So we're just listening back to the episode and doing some editing.
Doing some editing. That'll probably drop. We'll probably drop that as episode 51, because episode 50 we want to do something special.
Yeah, that's what I said to people that have been asking for it.
Yeah, so we'll try to do something special next week before Friday, because we'll be out of action next Friday. There'll be no recording.
Yeah.
We'll try to get it done next Thursday. But for everyone, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.